The window is now shut and we are 7 points clear at the top of the league. This is a football fans podcast from the people behind CelticUnderground.net. A lot of angst amongst the Celtic supporters about what we were going to do in the transfer window. We did sign Polish striker and Soro as a midfielder, both seen as projects because 21 years of age, and many people were looking for a bit more experience, I think partly from the comments of the manager, who after the defeat to Rangers on the 29th said he was looking for four players in and a bit of experience. He didn't want projects, and then at the end of the window said he was quite happy with the window and what we'd achieved. So got Anthony Murray back on the phone or on the Skype and asked him what he thought of it. I have my ideas. I would have liked to have seen us get an experienced centre-half in, since the manager wants to go with a back three, it seems. There was talk of also trying to get a wide player. Anthony Murray, he likes youth, so I thought it was appropriate to two people with contrasting opinions as to how the club should go forward on developing players. Or buying players in. So this is me, Harry Brady, with him, Anthony Murray. So I am joined now, seems like ages since we've spoken, I'm joined now by Anthony Murray, host of a brand new comedy podcast. You want to tell us all about it before we talk about the transfer window, since we need some light relief?
Any older fans of the podcast will remember, I used to always appear on the Celtic Underground podcast with Eddie, promoting my Glasgow Comedy Festival shows, but I basically chucked it. The whole comedy game a long, long time ago, and have been far away from it for 8 years. But I don't know, just some creative urge, some compulsion has brought me back in the podcasting game. So that's really all it is. But you know, some of the people that have listened to it have enjoyed it so far. So
tell us what it's called, or
The Wit Beyond Measure podcast.
Oh, right, okay.
And it's very smug. Very smug title, but it's actually a reference to Harry Potter. It's not as highbrow as it may seem.
Well, so I don't need to then start drinking in Byers Road and hanging out in University Avenue to be able to work out what you're talking about, no?
Oh, not at all. It's very lowbrow, actually.
Oh, right. You're down there with the follow. Do you know the first time I ever listened to the Heart and Hand podcast? The first 5 minutes, not to sound like a prude, but the first 5 minutes they were talking about pubic hair and swearing non-stop. And I thought, I'm on here for some comedy value because Ranger just lost and you're just swearing and talking about pubic hair. Anyway, is it that sort of level, or is it slightly higher brow than
hand? Slightly higher brow than that. I beep out the swear words.
Yeah. People don't understand. If you have swear words in a podcast, you're supposed to tick a box that says explicit. And you can risk, if you do it too often, you get then like an 18 rating and it becomes difficult for people to download. So that's a simple reason why I tend not to do it. Anyway, I thought I'd get you on, since it's been ages since we last spoke, I thought you'd get you on and speak about the January transfer window, or lack thereof, for Celtic. I'm stuck between two stalls in the January transfer window. I'm leaning mainly to one, but what's your overall thoughts on it?
I guess fundamentally I would always try and blood young players. Do you know what I mean? I'd be as Ajax as possible if I was in charge of Celtic. It would be a stricter and more determined policy. So any obsession or demand that we should be buying players, I think, is stupid anyway, and kind of against my ethics, I guess, of what football should be. That said, the night I'm still living in Glasgow, the night Robbie Keane signed, and I remember just a mate sending me a message saying, do you want to head down? It's like, all right, if you pick me up, I'll come. So I was one of the clowns outside Celtic Park singing Kino, Kino, you know. So I have been sucked into it in the past, but I don't expect us to do it or need it, you know. I don't get angry when we don't sign anyone.
I do find, I'll go into the specifics of it in a minute, but I do find the dynamics around the Celtic transfer window quite funny. I mean, one of the things for me, it's fairly obvious, there's no salesman at Celtic Park. And what I mean by that is, if I ran a club, knowing the way football fans are, this would be more the summer window, I'd make sure you sign someone in the first 2 days that the window opens.
Yeah.
Gets you going. Then I'd do whatever normal business in the middle of the window. And then I would absolutely try my best to save up the final signing for the last 36 hours of the window. Because it doesn't matter how good or bad a window has been. If you follow Celtic fans on Twitter, if we are not signing someone in the last 36 hours, we are shite.
Yeah.
The other thing I find funny is if you then go on, like, the transfer thread on Kerrydale Street, it will be Celtic are interested in Jimmy Smith. He's shampoo. What the fuck are we interested in him for? 10 comments later, Middlesbrough have signed Jimmy Smith. Oh, for fuck's sake, that's us missed out on another one. And there's been no evidence that we were ever interested in the guy in the first place. But so I do think that sort of sums it up. So we've signed two players in the window. As we record this, there is an hour left. There's 23 minutes left of Britain being in Europe, and there's an hour and 23 minutes left of the January transfer window. And as things stand, we have moved on Sinclair, Morgan, Hendry. Who else am I missing? Someone? Kouassi.
They're the big four.
Kouassi are gone, and we brought in Soro and Klamala, or I think the Baiming guys were calling it. Why I would take pronunciation lessons from Lawrence Donegan, I don't know. Camille or something like that? Camille?
Is it an I or an A? Is it Klamala or Klamilla? Or Klimilla? I don't know.
The Polish boy, I'm going to call him until Derek Ray pronounces his name, because he always does the thing that I never understood why journalists don't do. I asked Derek Ray this when I did the podcast with him, and he agreed with me. I never understood why when a foreign guy that signs, a member of the press at his press conference when we've got an unusual name, or why Celtic don't do this, somebody does this and say, before we start, can we just clarify, how do you pronounce your name?
Yeah.
Surely. Anyway, so we signed those two and got those four out the door. Great frustration amongst many Celtic fans that we've got 30, 40 million pounds in the bank. And we've signed two 21-year-old in inverted commas projects. And the point that I think some people would make is we should just spend whatever we need to spend to ensure we get 9 in a row and 10 in a row. And they're at our heels. You know, people are being critical and saying we're not. I would say they've just performed really well, because as I pointed out a number of times last couple of podcasts, points won and goals scored. This is our second best season since 2004, and I think our joint fourth best season this century. It's more that they're at our heels. So what's your thoughts on that side of things that we should have just spent? I know you said already you like youth. I think people are looking for, we should have bought somebody experienced in.
Yeah, I understand that. And I think there's that sort of short-term speculate to accumulate, and not just this season, but you know, if we beat Rangers in the next two seasons, maybe we kill Rangers again.
Yeah.
So there's obviously, that would be it'd be worth the punt, maybe. Definitely, really. But we've not done it. I think, just thinking back, like this time last year, we forget that the guys that came in did a job immediately. So if within the next hour we pull out a Burke and a Weah, as ultimately disappointing as they were, they did a job over that first 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So maybe I still would take someone. And if people forget, you know, Robbie Keane was really good. He was just in a team that was garbage.
Yeah.
So obviously, if you could give me someone like that last minute, you'd take it. I think it's hard to imagine, because I remember in the summer, last summer, thinking we've done a good job this summer in getting rid of the dead wood. And it's amazing to think that we still had four bits of dead wood left, plus Johnny Hayes. So, geez, oh, how much dead wood did we have this time last April, you know?
I mean, to be fair, somebody did make the point to me, you would never have the perfect team. Because if we did say you keep Kieran Tierney and we absolutely blow our budget and buy the best players we can, and suddenly you look at the back four and you go, Kieran Tierney's actually the weakest link in the back four. You know, you would always find one player who wasn't, I'm exaggerating on that, but you get my point. You would always find player who's the weakest link. So you're always going to find someone who, well, we need to get him off our boots because he's nowhere near as good as the other. I think for a lot of people, the issue is Lennon started the transfer window by saying he wanted to bring in four people, and he specifically wanted to bring in experience because we had enough young players. And we finished the window with no experience. We brought in two players.
I mean, in that situation, he should have been smart enough to not say that. Do you know what I mean? If you're just, you know, why give the press anything? You know, why give them a stick with which to hit you? You know, when it doesn't go your way, or his way, or Peter Lawl's way, or Celtic's way, or whatever. He should have kept his plans to himself.
The thing for my concerns on the window are more of late. Lennon, I think, my gut feel in Lennon looking at how Rangers did better against us in the League Cup final and in the league game and at Celtic Park was they dominated the middle of the pitch. And I think he's made some comments about having an idea of what they need to do, and then has tended to play 3-5-2 in the games after that game, making me think that might be Lennon's solution to how we will deal with it. We'll play 3-5-2. And so one of my issues with the transfer window is, if he wants to play 3-5-2, and from the centre-back positions we've got Julian, Ayer, Beaton, El Hamed, Simonovic. So out of those five, of which he's got to choose three, two of them are fit and three of them, I think out of those five, we've never had more than three of them fit at any one time.
I was arguing with someone on Twitter yesterday because I think maybe on a previous podcast I pitched Stuart Findlay, you know, an ex-Celtic youth player that has put a solid career together in the SPFL. Obviously not a world beater, but a left-sided centre-half that knows the league. In a situation where Beaton's a midfielder, El Hamid's a right-back, Simunovic can be a liability, and Ayer still dives in, would he not be a perfect left-sided of a back three?
Well, the only thing I would say is... El Hamed has played 70% of his games as a professional footballer as a centre half and not a right. We signed him as a right back, but actually most of his career has been a centre half.
I like El Hamed. You know, I'm a big fan of El Hamed, but he is a sick note at this point.
Yeah. The other thing about Beaton, and it was only because somebody, you know, for one of the European games when it looks like we were going to play Beaton and somebody said, why are we playing a makeshift saying, you know, why are we playing a midfielder? And I then look back, something like, if Beaton's played 30 games in the last three years, 25 of them have been at centre-half and 5 of them have been at midfield or something like that. I mean, in the last 3 years, when he's played for Celtic, he's played as a centre-half.
I wonder what he does for Israel.
I don't know. I don't pay enough attention to their games.
I remember he scored a cracker for Israel one night against, I don't know, Andorra or something like that. So he must have been in midfield that day. But Finlay isn't Celtic class, but in the situation, I don't think he'd be the worst option. An affordable, realistic option. We're not going to go and buy another Julian. You know, we're not going to have two guys that were worth $7 million that want to be there because, you know, players of that calibre might not want to come to Scotland. So I'm just trying to think pragmatically. Who could we afford that would do a job?
Well, two things. One, we brought back, what's his name? Is it Mark Welsh? From Morton. From his loan spell at Morton. And he was on the bench for the Ross County game, I think.
Is he a young centre-half?
Yeah.
All right, go with that then.
So we did that. The guy, Bruno, the South American guy, who's 23, that we spoke to, who then mucked about with his contract, he didn't go to a club. He's available. We scouted him. We've watched him, according to the reports. And he's now free and available.
So, any chance he'll pop up in the next hour? Or?
No.
No?
No. I don't think Concord doesn't exist anymore to be able to get him, time. And I don't think we've got anybody that can go out there and do the medical. So that's the position that I'm frustrated with most. If it's looking like Lennon's wanting to play three at the back, and out of the five people that we would play as a centre-half, we've only had three of them fit at any one time.
Yeah.
That's my issue with that. And then the other thing I found peculiar is, so Mikey Johnson gets injured in the St Johnson game, and by all accounts, we then were running around speaking to agents and trying to find a potential winger to deal with the fact that we were a player down. There was a guy, Atsu, that is a winger that we were allegedly interested in. So the thing that I find peculiar about that, surely if you're doing squad planning, if one player being injured would make you want to jump into the transfer market, should you not have that in the squad anyway?
Yeah, that's not good enough, and that looks like a panic. And again, one of my concerns with the current manager, when we, not to blame him for all the signings, was that kind of obsession with the English league, particularly the Premier League. You know, let's go and sign Jimmy Boulard. Let's go and sign David James. Do you know what I mean? Just because they're playing for Bournemouth or Newcastle, or, you know, some team in the Premier League, to me that's not a guarantee that they're going to come and be good Celtic players. That said, we've already stockpiled El Yunusi, Shved, and Zani, and Young Dembele, and Christie, and Forrest. Do you know what I mean? So we are loaded in these positions. But it's going to take a gamble. It's going to have to say, right, Arzani, we've been paying your wages for over 12 months. Now you play.
He is the one I cannot get my head around. And I've said before in the podcast, we have him on an 18-month loan. 7 minutes into his first game for us, he does his cruciate ligament and he's going to be out for 12 months. I don't understand why we wouldn't have said to Manchester City, you've got more money than us. You can pay for better medical stuff than us. He's out for a year. There's no point in him hanging about at Celtic. You might as well have him back. Surely there would have been the ability to have that conversation.
Yeah, it was a very strange one. Because, I mean, you think about Man City's power to go and buy, you know, your Paddy Roberts, your Frimpongs, you know, and load their youth teams with the best young talent. To recruit a guy and then punt him out immediately, and it seems to be, yeah, we're kind of stuck with him to an extent.
And again, now that he's been fit since October, again, you would have thought perhaps the conversation would take place as, are you going to play him or not? Because see, if you're not going to play him, we'll take him back, we'll send him somewhere else.
Yeah. So that's the risk we're going to have to take in the situation where Mikey Johnson picks up an injury. We're going to have to say, all right, boy Dembele, superstar, step up, or Shved. Now, Shved's an interesting one, and one that I've been wanting to talk about on the podcast.
Right, on you go.
Just because I live out here,
uh-huh.
And it's going to be sound, I don't mean this to sound racist or anything like that, but Russians and Ukrainians are weird. Do you know what I mean? They're completely different, right, to Western Europeans. It's not like you meet a Spaniard, first thing they tell you is, oh, do you watch Breaking Bad? Do you know what I mean? They're in that Netflix Western and European American culture. Uh-huh. You know, they all watch Peaky Blinders and stuff. A Ukrainian and a Russian won't. They'll watch the Russian Peaky Blinders or the Russian Breaking Bad,
yeah,
or whatever. You know, they're legitimately within their own little world.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, rightfully so, you know, there's huge countries. But they're not the same as other people in that you would move to Glasgow, you know, pick up English or, you know.
There's a familiarity to the culture. There's common elements within the new culture that you're moving to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's a huge step. So it's not the same as even, I'd say even like a Maravchik or a Viduka, or, you know, I know Viduka wasn't Croatian, but you know what I mean? My point is that a Ukrainian and a Russian moving to Glasgow is going to have a very odd time. Particularly, it'd probably be harder now than it would have been when Dovchek and Jakanovski arrived. I mean, they were coming from a completely different planet. But it was a planet where, right, you're Polish in Poland, but in Scotland you're going to have to pick up a bit of English,
mm-hmm,
to get by. And these guys could now, you know, they've got enough money that they can get someone to do their shopping for them. And they can go on Snapchat and look at Russian models and Ukrainians on jet skis all day. You know, on their Instagram and their TikTok or whatever the hell that new one is called. Do you know what I mean? They could sit in Glasgow and be completely oblivious to Scottish culture.
So I keep hearing that he's incredibly homesick, and I think he went to Seville and was incredibly homesick, and went back. The one thing I just suddenly realised when you were going through all those players: Forrest, right side; Dembele, right side; Shved, right side. Not even seen enough of Azani. I'm not sure whether he's right or left. The one thing I was noticing, they're all right-sided, even though Shved's, you know, obviously 75th pick for the right side. But they're all right-sided people. Elianussi's back in training today or tomorrow, apparently. And Mikey Johnson and Johnny Hayes seem to be the only three left-sided players.
I mean Elianussi's right-footed, but players on the left, at
yeah,
least.
Yeah. But the thing I then find odd, if we were one left-sided winger away from having to go back in the transfer market, I'm not saying they were the solution, but why did we let Sinclair and Morgan go? If we were one winger away, when they were wingers that did it, that, you know, they were ahead of Shved and Arzani in the pecking order this season, because they both played. I mean, Morgan started a European game and scored. They were ahead in the pecking order of two guys who are still there in Shved and Arzani. I'm not saying that they were the solution, but I just find it odd that we let them go, got one injury to a wide player, and by all accounts we're running around like headless chickens in the last 24 hours trying to find a winger.
Morgan's European goal was as a makeshift centre forward.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, to be pedantic. But I mean, I'm not going to complain about Deadwood leaving. I'm not going to. I know Sinclair had a solid Celtic career up to a point, but he wasn't a guy I'd pay to see or was looking forward to see by the end. So I'm not going to complain about them. I just think the guys that are there are going to have to step up and earn their wage. You know, we can't be having all these players getting paid, you know, to run about, what's it called? I want to say Camp X-Ray, but that's not right. That's Guantanamo Bay. they've got a shorthand for Lennox Town. Is it LX? LXT, is that what they call it?
That's probably a Celtic TV chat.
Yeah, sorry. And I got it mixed up with the War on Terror.
Do you know, I've been at Lennox Town, it is a bit soulless. It is the type of place you might stick prisoners of war. You know, they walk about, it's funny, they all walk about the training pitch flicking stuff out of their pockets and they're down their trousers and stuff like that. It's...
It does look cold. It always looks cold.
Yeah. I don't think... I mean, not that I've been there. I've been there 4 or 5 times and I've never been warm there, put it that way. There's a part of me looks at it and says, look, the squad is good enough. We're already ahead of Rangers. And I suppose the other thing about Lennon saying he wanted 4 players and then he doesn't get them. On its own... I can also envisage a situation where he makes that statement because we've spoken to some players and some agents who make it clear they want to come. We have an outline conversation before the window starts, so we're pretty confident that there's 2 centre-halves, for example, that we are interested in. I'm not saying that is the case. I can imagine this. It's 2 centre-halves we're interested in, positive conversations with both. One of them then... ends up getting an offer from our club and goes there, and the other one, his club pick up an injury and then turn around and say, we're just not selling the January window.
Yeah.
We then look and think, well, we didn't really have a third option. We look around and we think, none of those options actually are really any long term. If our 5 potential centre-halves are fit, this guy would be 6th choice, so there's no point in signing him. I can envisage how that would then happen. That would evolve. That you end up don't sign anybody. My issue is, I can see how that happens once, but when it seems to happen every transfer window, that's where the every time we go insane, and the January transfer window is really important for us because this is actually our window that we need to use to be set up for next season's Champions League qualifying, and then never do anything. So, there was lots of chat about Wanyama. What would your thoughts have been if we'd signed Wanyama?
I loved Wanyama. I remember when we did the... After Wanyama's first season, remember we used to, on the Celtic Underground website, we did the basically the individual player reviews for like the top 10 players?
Yep.
And that year I got Wanyama, so I had to write the Wanyama article. I absolutely loved Victor Wanyama. I thought he was a brilliant Celtic player. At a really young age as well. And it was because I was so fond of him, I always really paid attention to his career in England. And, you know, the fact that, you know, he went to Southampton and they were basically, for that first, like, 4 months that he was there, they were, like, top 4.
Yeah,
you know, it was a good Southampton team, and he was very much part of it. And then he picked up an injury, and then their season went off the boil. And then he came back from the injury, and they were one of the best teams in the country again. And I always tried to, you know, keep tabs on his influence. You know, and then he obviously gets a good move to Tottenham. And I'm not going to suggest for a moment that he was always in the Tottenham team when they were winning, because, you know, basically for the last 5 years, Tottenham have won more often than they haven't. With or without Wanyama in the team. But, I mean, he played in the Champions League running. You know, I don't really watch Champions League football when Celtic aren't in it. But after Christmas, I tune in slightly for the knockouts. I think the group's a waste of time. But the knockout games, I watched a couple of those really good Tottenham knockout games last spring, and he played in most of them. And then I think he got dropped for the final. But the Ajax games and the Man City games, he was heavily involved. And Tottenham went through.
I remember saying to someone, not that I would have wanted this to happen, but see if Arsene Wenger, I felt these players were perfect for what Arsenal needed. If Arsene Wenger had come and knocked on Celtic's door, and over the course of 2 years, come and taken Fraser Foster, Victor Wanyama and Virgil van Dijk.
That's the parallel universe. Arsenal are not in the sticky wicket they're in right now.
No,
because of those signings.
Yeah, if he'd have signed those three, I remember saying at the time, if he'd have come and knocked on our door and he could have picked the three of them, you know, over the course of a couple of years, he could have picked the three of them up for £20-25 million combined, spare change for a club like Arsenal. Arsenal would have been a top three club.
Yeah. So, Wanyama, I loved Wanyama. No, not just for the header against Barcelona, but those goals that he scored from distance, away at St Mirren, at home at Hearts, you know, he scored some absolute blockbusters. So, you know, were we to get a 28-year-old Victor Wanyama back, I couldn't be happier than that.
So,
but I don't think it's going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen today. I do know that we made an initial inquiry in the summer and Tottenham quoted us £5 million for a one-year loan. Like, we would have had to pay them up front. And then they wanted us to pay most of his salary, which is £65,000 a week.
I just can't believe how low that is. Imagine Victor Wanyama was English.
Well, I think if he was... if he was playing regularly, and by all accounts, the reason we've not gone from him in the January transfer window is because he's not played, I think he's played one game this season or something like that. He's not played. And so our concern is he wouldn't have been fit enough and we would have spent 2 months getting him fully fit. So what would have been the point?
Yeah.
The next Rangers game would have gone and done. And we've signed Soro, who's a midfielder. So, on getting the deadwood out, the thing I find interesting is the Scottish press wet in their pants about Rangers signing Hadji from Genk, on a loan with an option to buy. This is Genk who've sold their best midfielder to Sheffield United for £22 million. They've taken Kouassi off us and let Hadji go. I find it odd that they've prioritised Ibuyi Kouassi over Hadji.
It's a strange one because I've heard of young Hadji. Do you know what I mean? He's a young talent. Now, imagine the advantage the player, the son of a star has in getting a career is there for all to see, you know. Football is, you know, littered with sons of stars getting a chance. And one that apparently was quite good, you know, Yankee did it for Romania's youth team and stuff. So the fact that he's at Genk for a start, you know, why is he there? And then why is he getting punted? There must be some fault line there. But I mean, YouTube makes him look like a star, you know, but it's not like, you know, this isn't like a Paddy Roberts who's been gone from Fulham to City to Celtic. This is, I don't know, a boy that's gone from Romania to Genk to Rangers. Strange career path. How good can he be?
Yeah.
If that's where he is.
So back onto our window. So there's 56 minutes to go. And as you've been speaking, so the general feedback I've had is... There was talk that we were interested in Jordan Rhodes. That was nonsense. We were in for Atsu, and we thought we had him. We also allegedly had another high-profile deal that went through. The person who sent me that has put it in inverted commas and also then put allegedly afterwards. So I think they think that might be some positive spin. But the latest stuff coming through is that Bio may be going to St Mirren on loan. This isn't really good. as a breaking news thing, because anybody listening to this apart from you
will know. Yeah.
Bio to St Mirren on loan, possibly, and allegedly a striker is at Celtic Park.
Oh, that's interesting. That'd be a twist, because I wrote down earlier the list of number 10 slash wingers that we've got, which, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then I wrote down the strikers, and I included Bio, because although I'm not convinced by Bio, I wouldn't get rid of him unless, you know, there was a better option there. So that'd be interesting. The striker, I mean, the strikers that have been talked about, if we're just going to make it a general gossip podcast, we were linked with the boy from Slovakia, Sporer.
Yeah.
And I was stunned. Someone told me, though, he was on 22 grand at Slovan.
Wow.
That is mental. That's like a Celtic player getting paid like 70. Jeremy, that's so absurdly high for a guy playing in Slovakia. So I didn't realise that. I thought he'd be going from 5 grand to us saying, you know, 20.
Yep,
But it turns out he's basically going from 22 to whatever Sporting Lisbon are going to pay him. I think it'll be interesting. You know, it was quite funny arguing with people on Twitter about him. You know, doing the, you know nothing about him. It's like, well, actually, I'm the only guy in Celticdom that knows everything about him, because, you know, I've watched him many, many times and I live out here. But I think it'll be interesting to see how he does at Sporting, because he's a lovely player. Another one we'd have been linked with is Shankland, that I just like a goal machine. I like a guy that scores loads of goals. He seems to be scoring lots of goals. And then I think last week against Hibs, he scored a really nice goal. You know, that, you know, when you look at a player who's hot, and you're like, aye, but is he just scoring tap-ins and back post headers or something?
Uh-huh.
And then you see him, you know, the cream coming to the top, he gets one 25 yards out and drills it. And that pushed him up my priority. I thought, oh, maybe worth a punt, you know. But, you know, maybe he's the guy that's in the building. I don't know.
We'll see. So, with your penchant for youth development, is there a position that you would have wanted us to sign, or would you prefer us to stick? I mean, we signed some in the last 12 months. We've signed a number of other people's promising youngsters. You know, Luca Connell, the boy that we've sent out to Dunfermline on loan, who's a fullback, who's a centre half come fullback, who's played for the Irish national team before he's played for us. There's Oco Flex as well, who can play wide, and there's the other boy that we've just sent out on loan somewhere as well that we signed in the summer. You know, I can't think. So we seem to have sent
the big Irish black boy from Southampton,
Afolobi or something, was it?
Yeah, he's going to Dunfermline.
That's it. He's the one that's going to Dunfermline. The Luca Connell guy's going to Thistle. That's it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not then saying, oh, so, you know, people should be complaining because Lennon's happy. But it does look like that sort of tier of youngsters that would be our next tier below the first team, it looks like we've loaned them all out to get first team football.
It's funny you mention it. Smug about this. Go back to the August post summer transfer window podcast. My shout was, I can see none of these Irish boys making it, but I can see the boy that we took from Man City making it, and that was Frimpong.
Yeah.
So I would very much, as I said at the time, I would make, you know, Man City's youth development my that's where I'd go farming. You know, I'd pick up whichever young striker they've got there. The next Iniacho, or, you know, the next Frimpong, the next Incham. That's where I'd go looking for players. I think we've got a good relationship with City. They might be up for that.
Yeah, we've got that, yeah. I suppose there is an argument. You just don't have a youth set up of yourself. And you pick up the nearly guys of the elite clubs, because I suppose there is an argument that the nearly guys of those elite clubs would be the best that we would be able to get through our youth system anyway, because the guys who are better than them would be going, you know, same sort of principle that I always think from, you were talking about Stuart Finlay, from the rest of Scottish football, just pick up all the Celtic rejects. Because by default, any youth player that you could bring through at the age of 16 was not as good as the guy who's at Celtic.
Yeah, I mean, the spine of the Ross County team for the last 10 years was exactly that.
Yeah. So, yes, is there any specific position you would have gone for, or would you just stuck with...
If we're going to play three at the back, I think a left-sided sweeper would have been a smart play. I like Ayer, but I think he'd be more comfortable on the right of the three. Big fan of Julian, so no issues there. So, yeah, it's who do you... if we could get Benkovic, he'd be perfect. Obviously better than Findlay. But he really would be perfect for that position. It would help him out as well, because he's just stagnating at Leicester. But then Leicester are good, so you can't really criticise them for that.
I mean, the thing I did wonder when I heard that we were interested, the only position that we were interested in was a right winger. I wondered, obviously, if we were following the footsteps of Rod Stewart, or whether Lennon was looking at, to get over the line in the league, our defence maximum loses a goal in a game. You know, it's good enough to get us through, that all we need to concentrate in is those games where a team sits in with 11 men inside the box and we struggle to break down. And that actually the most important thing to sign is as many potential creative players and goal scorers as you can. Because what will lose us the league will not be a centre half. It'll be the game when we create chances and we don't put the ball in the back of the net. If we were to not win the league, it would be one of those games.
But then the right winger wouldn't be what I was looking for, because I've just convinced myself after many years of doubt. I'd basically, certainly after his goal the other night, when you're fresh in the memory, I'd file Forrest as basically an undroppable at this point. I know he's not the world's best right winger, but his stats are good. You know, his assists and his goals, even this season, are very, very good. So I wouldn't be buying a right winger. Obviously, if we get El Yunusi fit and we've got Forrest on the right, him on the left, you know, we're coasting, but yeah, I wouldn't be spending money on a replacement or another option on the right, because I think Forrest would be our first option.
So but it sounds like you're pretty calm about the transfer window then, and not one of the perma-rage Celtic fans on Twitter at the moment.
Not at all. I mean, we do need boys to step up, you know, whether it's Rogic kicking up a notch, Schroeder or Zani, and El Yunusi coming back. I don't really expect Karamoko Dembele to come in, but hell, it'd be fun to have him on the bench and home games. You know, if we get a lead, 3-0 lead.
Was it yesterday? I think at the press conference that Neil Lennon said they had offers for Karamoko Dembele to go out on loan, and they think he's better to stay at Celtic Park. Which did imply to me that he's going to get game time at Celtic.
That'd be good. I mean, he's at an age where if he's as good as we believe he is, he needs to be doing it. That's why I was happy to see. I'd rather Henderson had gone away and been, you know, Ross County's best player. But for whatever reason, it's not working out and he's coming back. But I've no problem with that, because I like Henderson. Mm-hmm. I was home last spring for a week. The game when Edouard scored the great free kick and we beat Motherwell 4-1 or 4-2. And yeah, Henderson was like man of the match that day. You know, started and played brilliant. So I like Henderson. I'd like Henderson to get a chance. And I hope he does. Annoyingly, this year, I'm coming back to Scotland for end of February, and it was going to be the only game I was going to get to in the 9-in-a-row season, and it's been moved to the Sunday, and I'm not going to get to it.
What would that have been? Hold on, I'm just checking. Is that the Kamarnock away?
Yeah. No, it's home. There's a home.
Sorry, Kamarnock at home. Sorry, that's what I meant to say.
Kamarnock at home, yeah.
Yeah, because we're playing Copenhagen.
So I've spent 3 months thinking, oh, good, I'll go to that Kamarnock game. And now, I'll be on a plane back to Central Europe.
So you're overall, you're okay with the transfer window. See how it goes. As I say, as we're doing this, there's now 45 minutes left of the transfer window. Not 100% the only possible thing that might happen for Celtic today is Bio to St Mirren, and there's allegedly a striker at Celtic Park, but I'll believe that when I see it.
The interesting one to think about are rivals. The Huns signed Camberi, didn't they?
Has it actually happened, the Camberi one?
I thought last tweet I read was that it was a done deal. Maybe I might be wrong. That would be an interesting one.
Yes, he has. I am very excited. Ever since I came to Scotland, it has been a dream move to Rangers. And since I haven't been able to get a game for Hibs since that big lump of a Diddy Deutsch started scoring, then I just needed to go to any team. No, the last bit I added in, obviously. But no, yes, I am very excited. He's going to Rangers.
I mean, he's obviously not a terrible player. Who knows how he'll do there. I'm not worried, you know, I'm not scared of Camberi, but he'll score a few goals. He's a decent player.
Well, they needed, I mean, because they only had two strikers and one of them went off in a stretcher.
Yeah, so, he got injured last night.
Yeah. So, that's the transfer window. I suppose the thing about the transfer window, if you get a first team ready player, the concept is that that's what lifts the team. Yeah. Because suddenly you've got a new guy who's playing every week and, you know. But we'll see. The Polish boy may just need a wee bit of time. I know someone who knows Polish football very well who tells me that it's very pretty and it just lacks the physicality of Scottish football, and someone coming from Poland would probably need a month or two to adjust. We'll see.
That'll be interesting. Then Soro, is that the other one?
Yeah, Soro, yeah.
I mean, is he Ivorian as well?
Yeah, but I think he also was in the Saudi Arabian under-16 team because allegedly he's only 21. But right. The pictures I've seen on him, he looks about 35.
So, I mean, that'll be interesting. Got to assume, you know, if we're punting Kouassi, who for me did basically nothing in a Celtic shirt, and, you know, no tears shed when he left. But, yeah, hope Soro's a better footballer. He says he models his game on Kante, I think. So,
if this was 1992... he would have modelled his game on Scott Brown. I mean, not Scott Brown, but you get my point. If the Celtic View would have done a piece about how growing up he idolised Scott Brown as a player, and he's now glad to be playing alongside him and can learn from his hero. Fortunately, we've moved away from that type of shite in our coverage of players coming in.
I tell you, one thing I haven't mentioned in the previous two, the match podcast discussion and just general signings, again, the other on Wednesday night, just the realisation that Forster, and I said it in August, Forster could be the best signing we ever make. And he is. He's absolutely brilliant. He just, when, you know, when O'Halloran's coming in with a chance, you just know you're not beating him. You're not beating him from an angle. You know, you might get a poxy deflection or something, But he's such a brilliant goalkeeper for Celtic.
I mean, that's why after we secure the nine in a row, and if we get the quadruple treble, if you want to get the 10, I would spend whatever you need to spend to keep him.
Every penny. And it's just history repeating himself, because remember, we had him on loan.
Yeah.
And we bought him. Now we've got him on loan. It's like, how many times are we going to have this little dance?
Do you know, if Celtic wanted to pull a rabbit out of the hat to appease the people who are utterly pissed off on Twitter, that would be a thing. It would be like a new signing. Announce Fraser Foster.
As a permanent. Fourth time we've signed him.
Yes.
And it'd be the best new signing we've ever had.
Right. Okay, well, I think I said, I would have liked to have signed a first-team ready, and principally it would have been a centre-half I wanted us to sign, because Lennon looks like he wants to play three at the back.
Yeah.
But there is a part of me that's been getting increasingly frustrated since the 29th of December with some of the "it's the end of the world" Celtic fans on Twitter, when, let's get realistic about it, as I keep going on about, in terms of goals scored and points, this is the second best season since 2004. We're not doing too badly. The issue is we need the players who have been on and off not fit this season to be fit.
Yeah.
And then the squad seems all right.
And even then, we might be lucky in that, you know, McGregor, Brown, Christie, Forrest, Edward could blast us to a title. You know, they're our best players, they're our most consistent players. They've rarely let us down in the past. I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, I mean, we go to Ibrox on the 29th of March, and if we have a certain group of players fit, we could go with Foster in goal, El Hamed, if he wants to play a 3-5-2, El Hamed, Julian and Aya as the three, Frimpong on, or James Forrest on the right, Taylor on the left, McGregor, Brown, Christie in the middle, Edward and Griffiths up front, with Ncham and Rogic and Frimpong and Simonovic and Beaton on the bench.
I'd even possibly be inclined to throw Ncham in as like the other centre forward. Do you know, he's come off the bench a couple of times in games as a, you know, basically a number 10. And done quite well. And he clearly, him and Edward are pretty tight. Do you know what I mean? If you could put Ncham in a position where he didn't have to do a lot of defending and really could just go and try and let balls bounce off him and turn people and hold people off and shoot. And, you know, that was a lovely run for the header the other day. I don't know. I don't know if that'd be an option. But, if by that point we'll be points ahead. You know, they're pish.
Right, okay.
I'll cling on to that.
On that positive note, I will say, Anthony Murray, thanks very much.
Right, no worries, goodbye.
Bring me sunshine. So, hope you enjoyed that. Myself and Anthony's opinions on things, tried not to be as hysterical as the online Celtic fans were over it. We've got a lot of money in the bank and we don't want to take any chances on achieving 9 and then 10 in a row. However, we are 7 points clear with, as I record this, El Hamed, Elianusi and Beaton all back in training tomorrow morning, on Monday morning that is. So, that's the transfer window pains complete until the summer, when we'll go through the angst again. If it's been this uptight in the January transfer window going for the 9, I'm not looking forward to next year. Anyway, enough of that. This is me, Harry Beattie. That was him, Anthony Murray. Listen to his podcast. And I'll say goodnight and God bless. Goodnight.
Bring me laughter. All the while, in this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy. Through the years, never bring me any tears. Let your arms arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.